Hey everybody, Jonathan here from Jake and Jonathan. Just giving you a little pre-announcement to tell you that our podcast merch is now available before Christmas so that it arrives on time for Christmas. This year's limited edition one print merch is a very beautiful t-shirt with Gandalf on the front saying 1,000 sticks. This is the 1,000 sticks merch. It's the official t-shirt of the Jake and Jonathan podcast. Now, how do you find it? You just go to teespring.com/stores/JakeJonathan, or you can find that link in the show notes somewhere. This is limited edition, meaning we will never print it again, just like last year's t-shirts. There's just one print run. We do it for a few weeks just before Christmas, and then that's the end of it, and then there'll never be an option to buy it again. This year, I think it's a pretty cute, funny t-shirt. It's the little Gandalf that you can see hiding in the background of the podcast art, and that's all it is. Very minimal. Very, very minimal. So if you buy this t-shirt, do send us a picture of yourself wearing it, either on Twitter or on Instagram, or to pbc@ajsmart.com. Definitely check it out. And also, notice that the dark t-shirt is more expensive than the light t-shirt, and that is because it is Gandalf the space gray version of it. It's not just a black t-shirt. This t-shirt is space gray, so we had to make it more expensive for no reason. Also, you notice the t-shirts are kind of expensive. This has nothing to do with us. We're basically making no money from these things. It's just these t-shirt printing websites are super expensive. So we're probably getting about $1 or $2 for every t-shirt you buy. That's not the point of this. It's just so that we get to, get a few people wearing these t-shirts and supporting the podcast. So enjoy the rest of the podcast. That's teespring.com/stores/JakeJonathan. Have a great day. Bye bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan.
You know that? I counted it. No, never mind.
Jake and Jonathan.
I literally said 1, 2, 3, 4, to get the rhythm, and then we started at the same time. It totally didn't work. It's fine. I like it that way. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Jake and Jonathan.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Welcome to podcast.
I was just watching over the weekend several times the More Cowbell video from the year 2000. Do you remember that?
Of course, with Will Ferrell and the other people.
Will Ferrell. Other people, Christopher Walken. It's a great one, listeners. If you have not recently watched it or ever watched it, it stands the test of time. I would say that is still very funny.
Will Ferrell is totally underrated. He's one of the funniest people on the planet. And if you've never watched the blooper reel for Eastbound and Down, the TV show, literally stop what you're doing right now and watch it. And then tell us how much it changed your life. The blooper reel for Eastbound and Down. Do you want to do that right now? And like, we can kind of skip.
I have not watched it.
And how I'm about gonna, can you play it loud on your...
I wonder what will happen. Oh, God, the cat has got on my desk here.
Is that a euphemism?
Cat, oh, it's tangled up in the headphone
Is that
wires.
A euphemism?
Jeez.
Is that also a euphemism?
Oh, man. Classic Eastbound and Down. It doesn't. Oh, wait. So I should be on. I should search for that on YouTube, I guess.
I can send you the exact one you should watch. 2 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Jason, here's the thing, right? Don't cut this bit out where we're looking for it because this is good content. Good. They always say put the best content at the start.
Yeah, to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go.
Okay. And down Will Ferrell. Oh, my dear God. This is going to make you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I need you to watch this.
You're gonna send it to me on Skype.
Yeah. Here we go. Jason, all right. It's called Classic Will Ferrell Outtakes Eastbound and Down Season 1. Maybe you can just sync the audio with Jake reacting to it now somehow.
And I'll start watching it now.
Yeah, just start watching it now.
So you double retired?
Really?
Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking. All the school children are lining up to put them in the sack lunches. Hey, that plum looks good. Can I trade it for your Twinkie? No, these are my plums. I want to bite into that plum and let the juice spill down my chin. You know what I mean? All the while, everyone said... I want the juice to spill down. Okay. If I recall correctly, my plums, beautiful bluish hue, the sun just dancing right off of them.
Oh, man.
Getting ready to take them to market. Okay.
That was really something.
How funny is it, though, to watch that? You can't not laugh. You can't not laugh when you're watching it because the other guys are also laughing while trying to do it.
I don't know how you would work with him, with Will Ferrell, and like you just see the difficulty of keeping a straight face. That happens in the cowbell video too.
Yeah,
it's Jimmy Fallon like totally loses it, and he only has one line in like the whole in the whole sketch, and he's just standing there just cracking up. Apparently, in the more cowbell one, apparently. If you watch it, rewatch it. Will Ferrell wrote that sketch, I guess, and he put on the sweater that he's wearing like right before, like nobody knew he was putting on that particular costume. And it's like a sweater that's not long enough. And so as the thing goes on, it just like climbs up his stomach. And
God, I can see it. Yeah.
And you can see everybody just kind of like looking at him and like just losing it. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that's fun. That's good. So what else is new? This podcast is off to a roaring start this morning.
It's great. I think it's a great start.
Live reaction to video.
Keep in mind, people listen to this.
You said we should start with ads.
Oh, yeah. Start with ads.
What we want people to do. I mean, now, I guess there's these videos. Yeah, so there's the more cowbell video, which I would say is appropriate for all audiences.
Yeah.
There's the video Jonathan just forced me to watch, which is maybe appropriate for some audiences.
We don't have children listening to our podcast. It's full of swears. It's full of swearing all the time.
It's full of swearing, and like that one that you sent me has swearing. Well, just have swearing.
It's more like
sex talk. It's all sex talk. It's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable sex talk.
But absurd. Absurd, silly sex talk.
Absurd.
It's not like actually sexual.
Right. That's right. And yeah, what else? I guess that's one thing you could do. You could watch those videos. What else could people do for us?
Promote your shit, dude.
Yeah, God, I know. You totally shook me with that video. I feel so uncomfortable now. I can't even. I'm out of the mode. I guess
the boy.
Oh God.
The podcast is growing, dude. We're doing something right.
I know, but this is when it's going to start to decline. It's right here.
That's what we think every time.
Workshops are going to be over. I have these two coming up in October, but they're going to be done, I think, right around the time this podcast episode rolls out. So that's my that's good, because that's my last chance to make money. Once this episode comes out, people are going to be like, that guy's a creep. So that's over. So yeah, I think what all people could do for us is give us a 5-star rating. I think this is the worst time to ask after the videos thing.
500
What can people
star.
Do for you, do you think, Jonathan?
Yeah, I don't have anything to sell right now. So okay. I think what people can do for me is go to workshopper.com. Workshopper is going to be the place where we at AJ and Smart put all of our new workshop material over the next, mainly in 2020. So if you go to workshopper.com, sign up for the newsletter. That's a great place to learn about workshops and what we're thinking about workshops and all that kind of stuff. And it's been a really exciting few weeks launching that and getting it ready to go, and sort of a lot of behind the scenes stuff. So go to workshopper.com.
Okay. That's,
you know,
that one's not going to trick you. You can go there at work and have no fear. Crank the speakers up. Go to workshopper.com. Nothing.
Fucking
you're not going to get
bang
fired
out
for
the
that.
Workshopper tunes. It's safe for work.
Speaking of banging out the music, you were talking right as we started our call today about how excellent the Skype intro, the doubt that bringing to.
Put your hands up.
Hi.
Hey, are you there?
Oh, hello. I was
getting my headphones
It's just so aggressive. You know, like it's 6 a.m. in the morning for you. And when I call you, it's like, okay, the actual tone is like, but with like a kick drum underneath it. It's really. And it just kind of ends. I guess they never really thought about the fact that it's like a build up, almost like in a dance song. But the drop is kind of someone saying, hey, coughing, and just kind of, you know, like it doesn't really work. Microsoft, we need to tone it down a bit. It needs to be.
Well, that's not Microsoft. That was from before, wasn't it? Don't you think that was that? That's when there was the Swedish guys.
No, but this new tone, this.
Oh, I don't think I have that version. I'm still on the old version.
Wait, you have the.
Well, mine goes.
Yeah, but with a kick drum underneath, like.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
I guess it has gotten more intense.
I'm exaggerating.
Ratcheting it up. Okay. Oh, yeah. I had some other topics.
I have topics, too. Don't worry. We're just slipping into it.
Let's see. Topic number one. I injured my wrist, maybe kind of badly. I don't know.
Hey.
Getting off of the couch. Getting off of the couch. This is what happens when you are a certain age, John, and I want to warn you because it's going to happen to you eventually. You have a ways to go, but I'm there, and I was getting off the couch with a cup of hot tea in one hand, and I tried to push myself up with the other hand. And I don't know what happened. Like, my wrist was like in between the couch cushions, and it just was not a euphemism, and it just popped.
I wouldn't have thought it was. I didn't think it was a euphemism, dude. You're trying to be the all wholesome
I am. That's why I'm just telling you to back off. Just back off right away. There's
wholesome
there.
Jake Knapp. I just watched this video and it's very offensive. And I'm just saying this so nobody thinks that I'm a bad person.
There's nothing there.
In between the couch cushions.
I just want you to know there's nothing there. And it's like, I don't know if I there's so many little bones in your hand. I don't know if I broke one. I don't know if I sprained it. But all I was doing is getting off the couch with a cup of hot tea. That's not fair.
No.
That is not fair.
No.
And so I can't tell how bad it is. My wrist sort of works. It's holding the mic. Anyway, that's update number one. Update number two.
That's a big one.
I can't remember if I told, this is a Gandalf update, but I may have already given it. It's a thing I remembered that happened earlier in the book.
Yeah, tell me and I'll let you know if you told us.
You let me know. I'm reading The Hobbit to my son, for people, first-time listeners. I'm reading The Hobbit to my son out loud. We wonder what all Gandalf can do. So I'm just relaying updates as we go. And in the book where we are, they just got out of Mirkwood by Bilbo put all the dwarves in barrels and they floated out of a river. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's... But the thing I think I forgot from way back when, because Gandalf isn't even with him anymore, so I don't have any new updates, because the whole time through Mirkwood, they've been on their own. But back when they were when they encountered the trolls and Gandalf did like a trick voice, did I talk about when they got locked out of the trolls' cave?
Locked out of the cave.
The trolls, because they had killed the troll. Well, the trolls killed themselves because they were arguing and they turned to stone.
Yeah.
And then they look around and they find the door to the troll's underground house, and which they assume is going to have good stuff in it. And it turns out that it did, but it was locked and they couldn't open it. And Gandalf tried to cast two spells to unlock the door.
Okay.
And it didn't work.
Because he can't do magic. That's why.
He was
blowing smoke rings at it.
Oh, kids, really
check this out. Vaping. It's just
the dwarves are like, hey, Gandalf, do you have any ideas? And he's like, ooh. Just blowing smoke rings. But anyway, he couldn't open it. But then it turned out after all that Bilbo had the key. And then Gandalf got really mad and he took the key from him and he opened it. So, yeah. I mean, that is the most elementary spell in Harry Potter to unlock a door. You know,
yeah.
Alohomora. Basic. Alohomora. They do it in year one. It's like the first thing. So I don't know. But that's another update. And then, okay, so that's update number two. Update number three is that we just moved to Seattle. So we live in a new neighborhood, obviously, because we weren't in Seattle before. And we started to hear rumors. It is, as I record this, it's in October. And we are starting to hear rumors about the intense Halloween trick-or-treating scene in this neighborhood. And so we were like, wow, okay. So in San Francisco, we would get no kids at our place because everybody would go to the street that was like three or four streets down. And the way in San Francisco, everybody would go to one street and then they wouldn't go around generally in the neighborhood at all. So I've always wanted more trick-or-treaters.
You wanted them, okay.
I wanted them. Because it's adorable to have trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
It makes you feel that you're in the spirit of the holidays. Things are happening. It's fun. Long ago, we lived in a neighborhood where we would get some trick-or-treaters. So the kids in the neighborhood would come by. I loved it. Now I learned that this is a serious trick-or-treating neighborhood. And I'm getting excited about it. And then last night, we had a little... They have this cool thing on our block. They have soup night, they call it.
Soup night.
Yeah. And so a couple times a year, I guess, everybody gets together and a couple people bring soup. And then you bring a bowl and you just meet the neighbors and you talk. And anyway, everybody's really friendly. It's really cool. I'm stoked about it. But the thing that the neighbors told us is, hey, the Halloween scene is really intense. How many trick-or-treaters do you think there'd be? Just get
like in a night,
I guess.
In a night.
Yeah.
Calling to your door.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you said intense. So, like,
yeah.
20.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. 20, maybe 50. I was bracing myself for 50.
50 Dude, would be a lot.
Check this out. If it's raining, 800.
What?
If it's nice, 1,000 to 2,000.
People calling to your door.
Yes.
1,000 to 2,000. That's a fucking festival,
kids.
Dude.
Yes. They're
That's
like,
a Coldplay concert.
You need 1,000 to 2,000 pieces of candy for a Coldplay concert, basically.
That is a Coldplay concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not Halloween.
It's a Lady Gaga concert because everybody's in costume.
That is fucking Lady Gaga right there.
Isn't that insane?
How is that even going
to
work?
1,000 to 2,000 kids. I don't know.
I'd be scared.
Yeah. I'm a bit scared.
There could be a stampede.
We're going to have to get tons of candy. And we sort of have to decorate. You know, we got to come up with a theme. So,
Jake and Jonathan,
my brother's into lighting. Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what they're going to expect.
Yeah.
Or that blooper reel. That could be the theme.
Yeah. All right, Jake, we need to talk about this blooper reel for a second, okay? And we'll come back to the Halloween, okay?
Okay, yeah.
This is real time. This is real time, everybody. Okay. What would you prefer me to do with the blooper reel in the editing?
Yeah, okay. What would I prefer?
I have a suggestion that I think you'd like. I talk about the fact that people should watch it, and then Jason plays the first, until your first laugh, nothing dirty, okay?
Yeah.
Until all the dirty stuff, so just about going to the market, right? That bit.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, you know, fades out and comes back into the after you listening to it.
So I think that's good.
Yeah?
I think that's good. That's good because it gets pretty awkward for a while.
I think people would like it, but I think I understand.
They can choose for themselves.
Yeah,
they could choose
exactly.
for themselves too that way. Also, could do a beep. We could beep out the whole thing just for 4 minutes, you know.
or how about this? How about Jason, you just choose bits where Jake laughs, but it's not really dirty, and just kind of splice them together, and then the dirty bits people can listen to themselves on YouTube.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. You can choose for you can choose your own adventure.
Yeah,
choose your own adventure on that one. That sounds good.
Perfect. Now you don't have to worry about it.
Speaking of this is funny YouTube clips. One that I saw this year that has just continues to crack me up, but I think you have to be into American
Naked.
Football, but I'm sure some of our listeners are, is the Hinkle McCringleberry excessive celebration video. It's very funny. It's Key and Peele. It's very, very funny, but you do have to be into American football. And John, don't watch it now because it's long.
Okay.
It's so good. It's so, so good if you are at all into American football.
I love Key and Peele.
Yeah, it's good. In fact, you don't even need to know that much about the sport. Another thing, the last update I have, my friend Stefan Cruchon was visiting from Switzerland.
Say his name right. Just say his name correctly. You know the way he likes to...
Yeah, Stefan Crutchen.
No, Stefan Croissant.
Yeah, Stefan Croissant. He was visiting and it was a great time. We had a great time with him. He has the new iPhone. He has the iPhone 11 Pro in green.
Oh, right.
And I saw it in person. It's the first time I've seen it in person with the three lenses. You could zoom. They do an animation between the zooms.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. I was actually coming around on whether I wanted one or not. I mean, it's...
I bought it, Jake.
It's actually pretty amazing. You did?
I did. I bought it. I bought the 11 Pro. I went for black.
Black.
I decided not to go for the green, but I bought. I caved.
So what do you think? Are you satisfied?
Didn't turn up yet.
Oh, on the way, in the mail.
In Europe, it somehow there's always a big wait time when the new iPhone comes out.
Well,
it'll be here by next episode, though.
I think you're going to be happy with it. We'll talk about it, obviously.
I mean, you know, I'll be happy. But that's cool. So you're going to get which one? What, even the green? You're like,
no, I'm not. No, I'm still not. I'm still not going to, but I now get it. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, darn it. It's always the same with Apple.
That's the noise I made when I saw the Apple event.
Jake, when do you think, what year do you think it's going to be when Tim Cook tells the Apple people to go come up with a new iPhone, and they go in the room for like 3 hours and they come back and they're like, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
We can't do anything else.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, we're getting, never.
No, because look, they keep making it. You know, this one is thicker than last year. So they're, they just keep, it's like cycles. It's going to be a chub phone next year. Every year, it's just going to be like chubbier or wavy or brown or whatever. It doesn't matter. And you know what? People always want a better camera.
Yeah.
Forever.
But do you know, I mean, eventually, don't you think the camera can't get any better at some point?
I mean, that's like, maybe. Remember, it's a public company. They don't care about eventually. It's about the quarterly results.
Next quarter. Yeah, that's right.
It's like, well, next year we'll put a squirting gun in it. And you have to break it apart to get the squirting gun out. And equals money. All right. So speaking of public companies, Jake, companies.
Okay.
I want to talk about Uber.
Okay. Yep.
Here's a link.
You know what I hate in Skype? As long as we're talking about Skype, you send me a link.
Yes.
The screen turns purple and there's a giant link across your face. Mm. That's the way it shows up to me.
Yeah.
I try to click that link. Nothing. Why doesn't that work? Why do I have to, then I have to open up the chat and then I have to click?
Because this life.
So annoying.
Because life. Oh, before we go into this. I got a cool, crazy new gadget that I've been talking about on Instagram. And it's something that you may have not heard of before. So let's jump. Have you heard of the Thermomix?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so this
Do
is...
Do I just type in Thermomix?
Thermomix.
Or are you going to tell
it's
me about it
It's weird
first?
For me. It's weird to me that the Thermomix is not a worldwide well-known product because it's something that I haven't really seen before. It's a cooking robot. It's like a 20-year-old product. I mean, it's like the sixth iteration of like a 20-year-old product coming out of Germany. And it is a connected smart cooking robot that basically you just need to do what it says and it cooks you relatively complex meals. And it does it also all at the same time. So for example, yesterday I was able to cook a biryani rice, which is sort of just like an Indian dish. My Indian friends on Instagram are telling me that it was absolutely not a biryani. Well, listen, the fucking cooking robot told me it was, so who's right? Okay, but the basic idea is that, so you choose what you want to cook. So I chose biryani rice, and then it adds the ingredients that you're going to need to your recipe list. You go and buy them, or you get them bought in a grocery store, whatever, like one of those delivery services. The stuff comes, and then you press start. And then the machine tells you step by step basically what to put in and where and which part of the machine. That's all very, very easy. Anybody can do it. And then the machine, often depending on the recipe, the machine, you just like turn it on for like 50 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever it says. You go away, you do your own things, you come back and it's done. It's such a crazy gadget and it just does crazy shit. And the actual machine itself, it's really hard to describe to people because people look at it and they're like, oh, it's a blender. And it's like,
it looks like a toilet for a person who has like problems.
Yes.
Like maybe a hospital toilet.
Yes.
I would say.
Exactly.
From the future, because it also has a little
That is what
screen
I bought it
display.
For. And it
turned out to be a kitchen
cooking
device.
Robot. So the Thermomix is, it's also quite expensive, about 1,300 euro. Not that much more expensive than, you know, the topped out version of the new iPhone. But it's been so cool to cook way more complicated dishes than I ever would have trusted myself to. But the best part is really throw it all in, go away for 45 minutes. It stirs, it heats, it like blends, it does everything. It steams. It's just like this crazy thing. It's also got like a built-in weighing scales. It's a slow cooker. It can even do like, what do you call it? The kimchi thing. Fermenting. It's a crazy...
It can ferment.
Wow.
It's can crazy. We talk about their website for a
I've
second?
I've never...
I've gone Fulvac. To thermomix.com.
Fulvac. Is there even an English version?
What is it?
Thermomix.fulvac.
Yeah. Oh, if you just type in thermomix.com.
Yeah.
I just searched for Thermomix and...
Thermomix.com.
Is that it? I mean, I assume that's it because it has the picture
I'm
of the same.
I'm just going to check thermomix.com. In Germany, I think it's forwarding me to Vorwerk.com. Okay, so thermomix.com. Discover all.
Okay,
yeah. Got it. Homemade, made effortless.
Do you see? Yeah.
Look how small it looks.
Okay. First of all...
That thing is massive, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's large.
Well, that's the first thing, is that they've superimposed the picture of the thing over another photo.
It's not smart.
It looks like the guy's eating out of the sort of the top of the toilet part.
And Stop calling it a toilet!
and so that's, I think that's a bit odd. The other thing is, how would you describe the guy in the middle there? Like, are bow ties cool in Germany?
Dude, that guy is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it is a bit transparent what's going on in this photo, which is...
He took these two girls out for a date?
He's cool, I guess, but he's like, he's kind of nerdy. Like, he looks, you know, with the bow...
Okay, fair enough.
So at least to me, a bow tie says, like, kind of nerdy guy.
Yeah.
They've superimposed the Thermomix. It's kind of like right there. And I don't mean to... If this guy's listening, if he's a listener of our podcast...
He is.
He looks a lot cooler than I do.
Yeah.
But
you can see him a few more times.
Relatively to the scene that's going on, which is a sort of candlelit fancy dinner, he just looks a bit like a guy who's a bit geeky, you know?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Maybe in a good way.
Relax, dude.
But next to him on either side are these ladies are like models.
Yes.
At the dinner. And so the message is very clear. If you're a geeky guy who, you know, doesn't know how to cook or wants to cook or something, you will have like model ladies coming over for dinner.
If you buy the Thermomix.
I feel like if you listen, people who listen to this podcast are in marketing, they're in product, they're in design. Please like do us a favor and make the photos on your websites like kind of real. Like have try to find real looking people. And,
you don't want
you know,
real
like,
looking people. Imagine in
no,
the
No, you do.
No.
You know what? You can have real looking people who are also not models. There's somebody who are attractive.
Okay.
There's a scale of people. And when the people are all young and models, I just I stop paying attention to them.
Okay.
This is not a real thing. I listened to everything you said about the Thermomix.
Yeah.
To the degree
are you
I
saying I'm not attractive?
You.
Fuck but you, dude.
No, I'm not saying that. You
I'm gonna put on
are
a bow tie
guy.
Right now. I'll show you what a bow tie looks like.
But check this out. When I just scroll through this website, I just turn off my brain because it's all fake. It all looks fake and I see what you're doing. But I just want you to tell me about the product. And if you can show people using it, show some real people. Maybe this is the way people look in Germany. I don't know. But this is not the way people look.
If you scroll down, you can see the take control section. You can see
the selfie
girls and the guy kind of zoomed out a bit. They're all attractive. They're all very attractive.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing very nice clothes.
Everybody's very attractive. Very nice clothes. Very fancy scene here. I get it. That's the way advertising works. Blah, blah, blah. Just, you don't have to do
it. Can we go back to the fucking product for a second?
Fine. What is the product again?
Okay, so it's a cooking robot that has thousands of reps.
Johnny Ive's toilet has returned.
It's a cooking robot that has... So first of all, you don't have to use the recipes that are built in. There's like almost like a little iPad screen built onto it. You can use those to keep things simple. It's really hard unless you watch videos to understand just how revolutionary it is to not have to think and to just...
You sound like you're reading a script.
This.
You just can't understand unless you watch the videos. Revolutionary.
No, but
listen,
I do have some issues with it. So first of all, the basic idea is pretty cool. It is like you can make very complex meals with it with very little effort, and it does give you a lot of time. Like one of the cool things is that you could be making a super complicated meal, but while it's doing that, you can clean the entire kitchen. So once your meal is done, everything's spotlessly clean and you're like, how did you even do that? It's because I didn't have to do anything. Done. That's the magic of it. Now, like the good parts are you can do all that. The bad parts are the meals themselves don't seem to be curated very well. So you might search biryani and find like 5 biryani options. It's not like user submitted. It seems to be the company actually making these things. And sometimes it's just wrong. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I made a biryani because I wanted to try it out and it was really good. It needed a bit more chili, but it was really good. Yesterday, I tried the second biryani in the list. It literally turned the rice to sludge because it was too... it just was incorrect timing. In like the robot just cooked things too long. So yeah, so far, I've cooked maybe 5 meals. 3 were amazing. 1 was good and 1 was really shit. But it's really interesting. There's 40,000 recipes built into it. You should check out some YouTube videos, but I don't care if anyone buys it. I just want to give you my review. And so far, I have to say 10 sticks. I know you weren't expecting that.
It looks like 10 sticks. Nah, that caught me off guard, actually. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of marketing pages, I know you have another thing to show me, but did you see the marketing page for Descript?
Oh, fuck. It's amazing.
It's so good.
It is so amazing.
It's so good.
I have seen it because it keeps getting sent to me because of the podcast.
Oh, man.
It's so well done. And actually, you know what? The version that's on there now is like the maybe third iteration I've seen of it. And the first iteration was already perfect. It keeps getting better.
Yeah. This is the best marketing page ever made. It's so good. So if you are doing design sprints, hey, this is great lightning demo thing. You should use Descript.com for your next lightning demo.
Oh, and guess what? There's no flat characters on it. Oh, you can do...
No.
What? Wait a second, Jake. You can do a marketing page with... Wait a minute.
What? No way. You can't?
How can you do a marketing page with real people on it? What?
How can you have real people and pictures of the product? What?
Who would buy that? Jake, I know you've been talking to Chris Doe on LinkedIn, right? I've been sniffing around.
Yeah.
I want to tell you.
Yeah.
There's a video coming out. No. Chris Doe's great. There's a video coming out with me and Chris Doe, and I can't remember exactly why, but we're going through a couple of pages and we're reviewing them. We're doing like design review. And I show him the flat character thing and tell him how much I hate it and how much it irritates me. And and he says, there's no other way to do it.
Whoa.
What?
Do you think he has a point?
No, he's like, he was like, how would you do it? And I was like, a little bit stumped. And I was like, well, what do they do before doing that shit? You know? But he did make one good point. He made one good point. And he was like, look, Jonathan, you hate all that stuff because you're a designer and you're like in the bubble, but most people don't care. And that was fair enough.
Yeah.
But look at the Descript page.
I do think it matters, though, even if people don't care and don't notice. I think it's the same thing with these photos that look like they're just stock photos and you superimpose your product on the top kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's like I just tune out. Actually, so they have a video here and they have people in it. They're clearly like doing podcast stuff. Like clearly they set this up like for this thing.
It wasn't originally for that.
I think whatever you say about the flat people thing, I think you have to say that it is not differentiated. If you're doing flat people, I can't remember what product it was. I can't think about what you're doing because my brain now is seeing it so much. I'm just tuning it out. If you go, another cool one or interesting marketing page was pitch.com that just launched. Have you seen that?
Dude, they literally use these characters. They're using the next upgrade of this character style.
It's the next upgrade. Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But so I was talking about this a couple of months ago. I think even on this podcast, I was saying that this is going to be the next flat character style.
This is harder to make. I don't think you're going to see as much of this.
It's already starting to get around.
Really?
Yeah. I've already started to see it in a couple of different companies, this style.
The 3D sort of bubble people.
The basic idea is the same. I mean, they're still... By the way, first of all, I have to be, we know that team a little bit and they're in Berlin and I think they're doing an amazing job. I still don't want to hold back. I feel like the general vibe of it is the same, in my opinion. The general vibe is cutesy kind of, it looks amazing. It looks really, really amazing. But I personally don't like it.
I so much prefer the Descript. Yeah. It's like...
I don't want to even say anything bad about Pitch because my whole team here loves it. Like
Are you guys using the product?
A couple of the people at AJ and Smart are using it and they like it.
This is new if you're listening. If you have not gone to pitch.com, it's like a PowerPoint thing. New slide software.
I haven't used it personally. I don't see the point of it personally, but it seems like obviously there's some really, really smart investors on board. And the guys, I know the guy who made Wunderlist, Christian Reber, is the founder. So I think it's one of them. For me, the reason I like it is because it's creating at least some fucking shit is happening in Berlin.
Yeah.
So that's at least one exciting thing is happening in Berlin when it comes to tech right now, and it's Pitch. I think that's for me. I was excited when they announced it last year. They're also saying teams like Notion, Framer, and Superhuman are already using Pitch. So yeah, I'm excited to see. I want them to succeed. Who cares about the marketing page? Designers probably love that style.
Yeah.
So who cares? It looks cool. It looks like a Pixar movie.
Do you know what? If you go, I guess this is about them that I'm on. I was going to say they have pictures of people that look real, but I think it's actually really their team hanging out in the park in Berlin. So that's why it looks so realistic. Yeah. This is, they have great investors and
amazing.
Definitely some that I've heard of, some that I don't know anything about. But presentations are so important. It is hard to make a good presentation. Keynote is incredibly powerful software. Like,
yeah,
you can make an amazing presentation with Keynote, but you have to figure out everything on your own. So this is very unspecific, the marketing page, like in terms of what it does.
I also don't understand
They're pre-launch sort of here.
Yeah.
But I'm eager to see what this will be like. I really hope it's not.
Yeah.
My concern from looking at it is that it's sort of Google Slides, like, but much better designed, which is fine, you know, to be able to collaborate with other people on a slide deck. That's all fine, but it's not what makes for like great storytelling, you know, like that stuff isn't just like, oh, now we can collaborate and get like new numbers into the deck. You know, that's just like the next version of the boring slide deck.
Yeah.
What you really want is like slide decks that actually like tell a good story. And the example that they give does not suggest that that's at the heart of what they're trying to do. Like the giant, if you just go to the website, they have a sample slide deck at the top and it says like all hands on deck, which is like, I guess their like sort of marketing slogan. And then it has like a subheader underneath that. And then the other slides you see on the side, it's like annual report, our year in review, which is just like, it's a pretty slide underneath that, but it's not a good slide. Like it doesn't have any information in it. And then it's like company roadmap. And then it has like these three, and it could be a good slide maybe, but it's not, you know, if you think of the best presentations you've ever seen, they don't follow this format of like big text and then like little text underneath and then like chart and diagram. So we'll see. We'll see.
Just to be clear, I think the website is really well designed. I think this is the best and most interesting thing that's going to come out of Berlin for a very long time. So I'm excited. I just don't know. I just have no idea. I'm not excited about it. I think what excites me about it, and I guess they know this because I'm looking at the amount of copy that mentions it. What excites me is that interesting investors that I know and interesting companies that I find interesting are investing into this. So Slack, for example, has invested into this. Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, founders of Instagram, have invested into this. Rahul from Superhuman has invested into this. So for me, that's actually what's interesting. The product itself is so far, and I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't even asked anyone at the team at AJ and Smart to show it to me. But that's the thing that makes me think they must be onto something. And maybe.
I mean, those investments, not to take anything away from Kevin Systrom, but does he have a track record of investing in products that become like a big deal? I don't know. Actually, it's like a legitimate question.
I have no clue.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
But sometimes the people who are well-known do not overlap with like being amazing investors.
Jesus, you're shitting all over pitch here, man.
I'll just say like,
Jake Knapp ruins.
Because I don't know anything about it. But, you know, I do think they'll make a product that will be very high quality because Christian has done that before.
Yes.
And I think that these are people who value like high quality products. So they know that. They know that he's going to deliver on that. But whether it's like a bit, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. I also think it's fun.
I'm interested.
What were we talking about? You sent a link. We should get.
I was about to talk to you about Uber, about their new like strategic direction, but I almost feel like
too much product talk.
I feel like we've already, you know, gotten to the point in the episode where we should be more wrapping things up than actually getting into anything.
Yeah.
Because we all know how long. Well, you know. Well, here's the thing. Should I mention the Uber thing? Because it's really interesting.
I'm looking at the timestamp of how long we've gone on, but I'm thinking we're going to cut.
I'll keep it on the list.
I mean,
not a lot.
Do you want to do it another?
Yeah, let's do it another episode some other time.
Tease it another time.
How about Amazon's new 1,000,000,000 Echo products? Because it's not that important.
And I don't know anything about it. Where do I go to? Send me a link or tell me what to do.
So Amazon had an Echo event. Actually, we're quite late for this one, as usual. Echo, Amazon Echo event 2009. So basically the thing is that in this event they launched or they announced like 7 trillion products, like something 80 announcements. It was 80 announcements and quite a lot of specific Amazon developed products came out of this. So I'll just send you this link here.
Jason, leave that in.
Yeah.
Because
I had a sniffle and the little purr. Okay, so here you go. They have a ton of new products and So, you know the way Apple releases one thing?
Yeah.
And then iterates and iterates and iterates and iterates and iterates. And you're actually usually pretty safe to buy into that ecosystem because Apple sticks to things. They really do. They like the watch. It's been like 5 iterations now and it's getting better and better.
More questionable with like Amazon the HomePod, for example. They made that and then you don't know
exactly. But that's a rare move. Well, no, yeah. They do that sometimes as well. But most of the time they stick around. Like Amazon right here has launched so many products.
Down to what picture I have of that. No, it just says Amazon Smart Oven and the guy standing next to it. It's just so funny because it looks
so
like a
big.
Giant. I think it must be a giant projection screen, but it picture. Looks like he's standing next to a giant microwave and he's gonna like get in or something.
Yeah,
this guy came out of the microwave. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think there's just a couple of things in here. I mean, I personally didn't find it interesting at all. It's kind of like the glasses and the ring. So the Echo Loop is a smart ring that vibrates. Okay. And you can talk to it. Like you can say, hey, Alexa, you can talk to your smart ring. And then there's the Echo Frames, which are very disgusting looking glasses that you can talk to as well. I have an Echo at home and I only ever use it for a timer and turning on podcasts. But I just, I just don't know if they actually think anyone will ever buy these or if it's just like a
if you
PR
haven't
thing.
Seen this announcement about Amazon, please do yourself a favor and click the link in the show notes and scroll through. It just doesn't seem like it could be real. At the top image, it's like all new Echo lineup and it's like one of the speaker things. I don't know anything about Echo. So
yeah,
to me,
easy.
This is just, I'm just like an alien seeing this stuff and I'm like, what? But so the speaker thing, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. They made a newer version of that thing. Sure. And then I scroll down and it's a ring that you wear on your finger. Are you kidding me? And then you scroll down and then it's glasses.
Yeah.
They look like sort of regular glasses with just weird ear stems. And then, okay, and then there's Echo Buds, which are like, and you're like, okay, wow, they did a lot of stuff. You go down Smart Oven. Okay, there's a microwave. You keep going. Oh, okay, the Ring indoor camera. Okay, so there's a webcam. Oh, okay. It's like you just keep getting like, they're almost pushing me over the edge. And then they come back with like, oh, no, but no, it's just like, it's just a webcam. And then you go down there like, oh, here's the smallest Echo device. You just plug this into the wall. Okay. Oh, Eero. Oh, yeah. Oh, they've got a new version of the like Wi-Fi hub. Oh, Echo Glow is a smart lamp for kids. Oh, you've got something for the...
Yeah. And look at this one I just sent you. Even better. You didn't even see this one.
Let's see. Oh, my gosh. Pet tracker. Wow. Okay. It's so big.
It
has like a carabiner
pets.
Attached
yeah, it's
to
massive.
The dog's neck.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then... Yeah, you keep going. There's like more speakers. There's Samuel L. Jackson. There's another speaker. It's a lot of stuff. Like you said, it is a lot of stuff.
It's so much stuff that I completely tuned out. You know, like I was looking at some of the announcements and after a while I was like, okay, Samuel L. Jackson. I'm lost. I'm fully lost right now. I don't know what Amazon is. But I think that's the thing. Amazon isn't trying to be this like mysterious... No. You know, Apple-like company, which releases these super... It's just trying to... I guess the strategy here is whatever products are popular on Amazon, Amazon has the data on what's popular. And so they create their own Amazon versions of it. So instead of, you know, the microwave from Samsung selling a lot, they recommend the Amazon Basics one. And they're always going to be able to compete on price. So it is a really smart thing to do. And I... guess, you know, earbuds are... I think Amazon is just one of these companies. They have this disagree and commit approach internally. So they just like can make stuff.
This is like an example.
And see what happens.
They disagreed about all of this, but they're just like, well, we have to commit to it anyway.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck it.
Somebody wants to make a ring, so we have to do it. Oh, man.
Should it vibrate? Don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Disagree and commit.
Yeah. So disagree and commit. 10 more rings. What should it be? An entire arm ring? What if it's like a swimming ring for a child?
Sure. Disagree and commit. Duh. Do it.
Yeah.
Somebody
disagree
wrote up the
and
press,
commit, my
wrote
friends.
The press release. We read it at the beginning of the meeting. We
it's
have
too
to
late.
Do it now. It's done.
Yeah,
this is actually.
I disagree with this press release,
I don't know.
But I'm committing to
Amazon's
it.
So successful that you can't really. I guess you can't second guess what they do, but you do wonder if there's a thing about the way they do their meetings internally. As I understand, as I have been led to believe, what they do is you write a press release for the thing you want to pitch, and then everybody reads it, and then you talk about the press release. So you're writing up front. Writing up front makes a ton of sense. One downside to writing a press release is if you've ever read a press release, it's baloney. Like, nobody cares about the press release because it's what the, it's advertising. It's what the company wants you to think about the launch. So the Echo Loop, for example, this ring, you read the press release for that, and it sounds like the press release would be like, oh, Amazon today announced the launch of a new ring that you can wear, and you can talk to, you know, wherever you are, you're going to bring up your pinky ring to your mouth and you'll talk to it, and it's amazing. Because in the press release, everything's amazing. I'm losing steam here.
I don't know, man.
I'm just staring at the ring.
That's okay.
I'm starting to think maybe I want a ring. I don't know.
Have you ever worked with Amazon or had any?
No, but I live in Seattle, so if I say the wrong thing, I'll probably...
I know, they're going to come for you, dude.
They'll come for me.
It's pretty difficult for me to... I mean, actually, it's not. I say exactly what I want, but I... And I think, actually, sometimes clients do send me a message after they hear a podcast and they say they heard it whatever, and they're never angry about it. They're like, oh, that was... That was cool. But so
I will say that I, you know, the podcast, I, and in life in general, I always try to
be honest.
I always try to say what I want to say.
Me too.
The truth is that I have a lot of empathy for, a few things are true. I have a lot of empathy for people who are building things because I have built a lot of things and I've built dumb things in the past.
Yeah.
And I've built things that turned out to work well and not work well. And I don't always know why. So that's the other thing. I also am aware, I don't know. There's probably a bunch of things on that crazy page that are going to turn out to be successful, and I don't know which ones they are.
Exactly.
But we look at, you know, these different websites of things, and I can armchair like critique them, but I don't know. And then, you know, the other thing is people are making this stuff. I don't want people to rip apart stuff that I make because, hey, I'm just sitting here. I'm not making products. I'm not building rings or writing software.
True.
I'm just sitting here talking into a microphone. Who am I to criticize all the work that goes into that? They're actually putting themselves out there and doing it. It's a little easier to make fun of Amazon.
We're just having fun.
That's why you always hear me being kind of cautious because, you know, I don't know the truth and I don't know if it's ever fair to rip into somebody because somebody's, you know, it's a real people out there doing
this
stuff.
I don't think we do that. I think we, well, when we look at something, we're looking for the entertaining approach to kind of mock it, but in a funny way. At least for me, I don't care about the company. I care about making, and that's the thing also, sort of the workshopper ethos. I care about individuals actually enjoying their job.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. Also why I like teaching people things like the design sprint. It helps people to enjoy what they do more by removing some of the pointless busy work. I actually genuinely don't believe... Now I've seen every company, okay? Done. I've seen every company. No company can be efficient. It's just not possible. Like, I literally think it's impossible to build a company that's super efficient and doesn't lose energy. So I believe that most companies today, I know this sounds aggressive, but I think about 80 to 90% of the work that happens day to day is energy being wasted, is busy work.
Yeah.
And then maybe in the best case scenario, 10% of your day is used for things that are actually, you were paid for in the first place. And that's, I would say, the baseline and the best companies in the world. And, you know, maybe a company like Pitch at the size that it's at right now, maybe is only at 50%. And I think that's like AJ and Smart, right? We're probably, in terms of efficiency, around the 50% mark, right? In my days, how much of my day is actually efficient? So I think for me, I don't really care if the companies are all over the place or crazy or chaotic, as long as the individuals feel like they have some way to control their
time. Well, I have, have been reading more and more about climate change.
Mm.
I've known that climate change is a real thing for a while, but I read this book, Ends of the World. And I got on this rabbit hole where I started off with this article that I talked about in a previous episode of the podcast about the when the meteor hit the dinosaurs and it's how crazy that was.
Yeah.
A friend of mine sent me a link to this book, Ends of the World, said, you should check this out. I read that. I was like, mind blown. And Ends of the World sneakily gets you thinking, rethinking about climate change in a weird way. A thing that I've been aware of for a really long time, but I've just kind of been like, oh God, what's so frustrating? Nobody does anything. What are we going to do about it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about it more and more and like reading more about it and trying to think about what I could do. Why can't I? Why do I have to say like I can't do anything? Because I know on the one hand that like it doesn't really matter if I recycle this battery or not, but like on the big picture, stuff does matter. And actually, I think something that we talk about a lot does matter, which is how people spend their time. And whether humans are able to solve problems effectively, because we need to start doing that. Like, we're going to have to be able to solve problems and align with other people in a way that we have not been able to do in the past. And so I think that actually, I think you can make a case for that the work we do is important. I don't mean on this podcast, but I mean the general, like our day job stuff. It also is true that you look at a page like the Amazon. I mean, you know, again, don't mean to necessarily pick on Amazon, but why not? We're looking at their page. You scroll through and you just see all the shit that we're making as humans, all the random stuff that we're just throwing against the wall and like manufacturing. And if you like are in an airplane and you're flying over a city and you just like look down at it, and you just kind of see that same thing. Cities are just kind of this, it's like this Amazon page. It's just like, we just threw all the stuff at the wall. We just like turning the ground into like, let's put a strip mall here. Let's put, you know, especially it's true in the United States, but oh, let's just put some stuff here. Let's put some roads here. Let's put some, you know, and we're just like, the scale of time that we can see in a human life is so short, but like you add up a few human lifespans and like the, we're just like cranking out crap all over the place. And we, you know, it does matter.
Yeah.
And so I hope that things like Pitch, for example, which is a tool for better communicating ideas and making work more effective, I hope that they're successful. I don't know how much it matters if Echo speakers are successful for the future of human success.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're doing, it's like, I haven't like learned and thought enough about this yet to know what I'm,
train
my point
of thought.
Is train of thought. But it does matter. And actually, yeah, this is like a thing I'm thinking about. More on this in the future. We should end the episode.
No, but it's really, for me at the moment, it almost clicked for me. I gave a talk. I gave a workshop last week. Just have to cough there really violently. I gave a talk last week for this group called OLX. It's like this big conglomerate of multiple marketplaces. Thank you, OLX. It was very, very lovely. But one thing I sort of kind of got into a bit of a, I don't know, someone asked me the question, and this question always comes up, and it's a great question. And I think no company has never not asked this. And you probably get asked it during your design sprint workshops as well. I'm building this up a lot. But the question is, yeah, like this is all great, but how are we going to get this done within our organization? You know, will our organization support us, et cetera, et cetera? And we always get asked a version of that question, no matter where we speak. And my answer is usually tactical. It's like, oh, well, first you can do this and run your first sprint, and then people will start figuring out that that makes sense, and then it starts to spread and blah, blah, blah. But actually, my approach this time was different. I just thought about it and I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter if your organization doesn't support it. It's about you making your work life more enjoyable by removing some of the busy work from it, by doing what you actually enjoy. And even if you just do that on a team level, that's enough. And I think the kind of common feeling for employees and companies is that they don't want to try this stuff because they're like, oh, my boss won't support me or the company won't, whatever. But I think if you think of it on an extremely individual level, almost on a selfish level, learning things like whatever, that even if it's just the principles of the design sprint, for example, doing a node and vote instead of doing a normal meeting, I think those things on an individual level can be super important and completely transformative for your work life.
And transformative.
And I think I'm going to go down that transformative. But yeah, I think like on the individual level, something like the design sprint and some of the principles around it, like this together alone and, you know, just the getting started and finding momentum. I think having that toolbox and understanding how to run things like that rather than running them the way you're running them right now, a lot of people wait around for like the agile coach to come along and solve the problems or this and that and the company to have a transformation or something. Everyone's waiting around for something to kind of solve everything. I think my new approach is going to be, no, you personally should focus on yourself or your team and just change that. That is enough already. I don't know. Did I go off on a weird path?
No, I think that's connected. To me, it's connected because if at a big scale, what I hope happens is that if people are changing the way they work and having to assess what's actually important to us, who are we doing this for? What are we doing? What is the thing that we're doing?
Yeah.
And not wasting all that time at work, not having all that time just go vanish or just be reaction-based or just be a blur. If there is clarity about what's happening at work and what the motivations are, then I hope that many times that will steer people to do better work and it'll create positive effects. But I also hope that sometimes it will reveal things that shouldn't be going on. Either I'm not a fit for this company, or what we're doing, actually, I don't support what we're doing. I don't care. No, there's no clarity about what's going on. And when things are fuzzy, And when things are just happening in a large company, like that stuff can stay hidden.
Yeah.
And so I hope that this idea of redesign, like re-examining the way work is done, whether that's through a design sprint or through the stuff you're talking about with workshops, will change the way people do work. And hopefully we won't put up with so much. But that's being very optimistic. So
no, but you don't have to be optimistic. You can just, that's the fun part. I've changed my mind from, and I've been going that direction for a while. You know, we're a company that used to even attempt to help companies with their sort of broader innovation strategies or general, like, okay, we're going to come in and help the whole company innovate, or the entire company is going to learn how to do like design thinking at a massive scale. And now I'm like, I think it's better if just one team learns this really intensively first, and then it spreads because they see that these people's work lives are better.
Yeah.
Not because it's better necessarily for the company. That's like the knock-on effect. I feel like it's almost better to, now I'm just getting this like hunch that it's better to really do it on an individual employee scale.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like if you can create this, it's another Heath Brothers thing. I think it's from the book Switch, which I assume you've read.
I haven't read Switch.
Nah, it's a good one. They talk about bright spots. The best way to change an organization. They have some different techniques for changing organizations at a large scale. And one of them is, you know, find bright spots and duplicate them. So that's a way to create a bright spot.
These guys are so intelligent.
Oh, they're the best.
The Heath Brothers, I hate them. They're too good.
I hate them so much because they're so good. They're so good. Good books.
Made to Stick and The Power of Moments. Oh, my dear God.
Well, you should read. Read Switch because it's... Switch and Decisive are also excellent. Stop wasting your time with this podcast and just read the Heath Brothers books.
Burn it. No, please keep listening to this podcast. All right, Jake, can people do for you?
I don't know. JakeKnapp.com, sign up for the newsletter. Maybe have a workshop, go to a workshop. Maybe you want me to come in and teach a workshop. You can send a thing on JakeKnapp.com. Yeah. But you know what? Just have a great day. That's what I really want. I just want you to have a great, great day. Please do. What can people do for you?
Beautiful. Just relax. Yeah. Have a really great day. Give this podcast a review, share it, keep emailing us. We get some very nice emails from you guys and we really do appreciate it. It's still pbc@ajsmart.com. And even if you listen to this podcast well into the future, I'll keep that email address open even when I finally change it to whatever it should be. But yeah, thanks for your reviews. Thanks for sharing it. The podcast is growing, so obviously you're talking about it. We really do appreciate that. If you're a content producer or if you're a writer, please talk about our podcast. Put it onto lists, whatever. It does also help us, and we do appreciate when you see a design podcast list and you ask them to put us on it. That does help. It does actually help. All jokes aside. Oh, we forgot to fight about Envision. We have to get back onto that. I thought we were going to keep that up. I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, me too. Well, maybe for the future.
All right, everybody.
Good topics for the future. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jake and Jonathan.
Jake and Jonathan. Ho, hi, ho.
Jake and Jonathan.
See you later, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.